Well, good morning, everyone. As promised, I thought I would do a weekly update. This is the first one. This will go on Rumble. Appreciate all the feedback. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lieutenant Colonel Steve Murray. I'm a retired Army officer that spent roughly 12 years of my career doing information warfare, cyber defense, and digital network intelligence in relation to dealing with the threat of both Chinese and other foreign actors penetrating our networks, as well as crafting themes and messages to influence populations around the world. Part of what I'm going to talk about today is the current situation in Canada. There's a lot going on, so stick with me. There's a number of different facets to this that are both, let's just say, confusing and complex, but there's a lot of things that fit together. So let's start with the emergency order that Trudeau put in place yesterday. This has nothing to do with any of the protests going on. It has nothing to do with COVID. It is all about consolidation of power. If you look back in history at Saddam Hussein, at Joseph Stalin, even Pol Pot, you will see a culmination point in history where they used some kind of an order to not just consolidate power, but to eliminate any political threats around them while they were consolidating power. This does three things. If you watch the Ezra interview yesterday, and sorry for the planes going over. If you watch the Ezra interview yesterday, commentary yesterday, you'll see that he talks very specifically about what Trudeau's father did 50 years ago, using the equivalent of the same order to not only eradicate all of his political opponents, but to take away any power that any of them had to go against any of his executive orders. That's exactly what Trudeau is doing. He's taken some of the worst lessons in history. And I posted a video about him talking about how he was envious of China's dictatorship. Look, the whole game plan here, especially in Canada and the US, Australia, New Zealand, and a host of other countries, it's the same game plan. The game plan is to bring a Chinese-style social scoring system and dictatorship into the population where you don't have the ability to move, to work, to eat, or to use any kind of financial system unless you sign up for their dictatorship and their program. Look at China. They have facial recognition all over the country. And if you don't do exactly and get with the program, guess what? You don't move, you don't eat, you don't work. And it's pervasive through a number of parts of our society already, and people don't even realize it. So the indoctrination started in the colleges and universities. Well, you know, the government rolled out the Patriot Act, and none of you really have to worry about it because you don't do anything criminal, so they're not going to look at you anyway. And then it was, well, they're just collecting information. It's not information that you care about anyway. It's just your spending habits, or it's your movement habits. It's a way to normalize criminal behavior over a long period of time. You dismiss that they're taking away your privacy slowly but surely. And if you look at the younger generations right now, they post everything online. They don't have any concept of privacy. They don't have any concept of personal privacy or even worse, financial privacy. And that's been the hallmark of our entire First Amendment right for the last 250 years. And now, in one fell swoop, Trudeau has eliminated not just the right to due process, but he's added the fact that he's given air cover to the banks to take your money, to take your account, freeze you out so you can't spend money. And he's also silenced the news media, so he could tell the news media exactly what he wants them to report on. And if they don't, guess what? They get shut down. And it looks very, very similar to what happened in New Zealand when Jacinda basically froze out all of the banks over COVID. And now she's talking about disinformation. Essentially, she's saying, if you don't buy the state story, you're a terrorist. That should sound vaguely familiar to what Justin Trudeau has said over the last 2 weeks. These peaceful protesters, by the way, peaceful protesters are terrorists. And then on top of that, he's saying that the criminality that's going on right now. So they also banned cryptocurrencies. They also made crowdfunding illegal. That's just cover so the banks can go in and take all that money. And they couldn't do it legally. So they had to do it through an emergency order. Now you're going to see when people are abandoning ship, that's them either cleaning house or people choosing which side they're on. And you hope that enough of them choose to be on the side of freedom and the side of Canadians that it takes away all of his power. And that's the next order about. The other thing that you're going to see is you're going to see that the convoy is going to switch to cash and they're going to be moving cash through. And if you really want to go after this, again, remember that this is being run by the bankers in Switzerland and the bankers in New York and the bankers in Canada and the bankers in London. All of the banking community has come together to put together what's called an ESGR score, an environmental, social, governance, and regulatory score. It's a fictitious score that has there's no KPIs, there's no metrics associated with it. It's a subjective score that they're trying to put in place so they can turn off business financing and turn off business that don't play with their narrative. You know how you get around that? There's one very simple way that you cripple the banks. You take all your money out. You get everybody you know to take all their money out of the banks. And trust me, when you drain the financial system of cash, it gets their attention. And if enough people in Canada do it, you shut down the banking system. And more importantly, you shut down the economy. The next way you get these guys is fine. You want to take away my financial, capabilities? You want to take away my property, which is the other thing this emergency order does. He can seize your property. He can seize your financials. He can seize all of your assets. Does that sound like a guy who gives a shit about peaceful protests? No, that sounds like a guy who's trying to consolidate power. That's what this is all about. It has nothing to do with COVID or public safety, but that's the narrative. That's the bullshit lie that this is about public safety. This has nothing to do with public safety. This is a dictator and a tyrant. And you have to ask yourself, where is the military? The military should have stepped in, arrest this asshole as well as Freeland, who's a George Soros cuck, and they should have put them in prison yesterday. They should have marched into the parliament building. They should have arrested all of them, including the health minister, and marched them off to Gitmo. But instead, everybody's sitting idly by watching to wait and see what's going to happen. And here's how you tell who the good RCMP officers are and the bad ones. The good ones are going to walk away. The bad ones, the bubbas that don't give a shit about people or have a moral compass, they're going to stay. Or they're foreign nationals that don't have any loyalty to the Canadians. You're going to see exactly who they are because they're going to commit tremendously awful crimes. That's typically what happens in these situations. So the next way to shut down Trudeau, besides taking your money and getting everybody in Canada to take their money out of the banks, is stop rolling all the logistics. Tell your friends to go to the store tonight, stock up for a couple of weeks, and then get as many truckers in the country to shut down operations. Just stop, park your truck, walk away. For a week, 2 weeks. Don't do anything. Don't move anything. Full stop. This, and let me remind the Canadians here that are listening to this. This is your hill to die on. This is it. This is your moment in history. You're not going to get another one. And your time is running out. The more that you spend talking about this and the less you spend doing, the more power and the more time that Trudeau has to consolidate power and put people in place that don't have a moral compass. If you really want your country back, then you need to either do one of the two things I just said, shut down the logistic train, take your money out of the bank, or do both, and then go to Ottawa. Take as many people to Ottawa as you can get and go stand in those streets until he lifts the sanctions and lifts the emergency order and then resigns. Or he's arrested. There is no in-between here, folks. This is it. This is the hill to die on. And you have to be very, very cognizant of the fact that this is probably going to go kinetic if you don't do this. And you can assume that they've already staged weapons and provocateurs throughout the city. I want you to take that in for a second. And though for those of you in the United States, pay real close attention to what's going on there. Because these IGAs, these intergovernmental agreements that the counties have signed to go along with the CDC shielding approach, complementary to all of the executive orders that the governors have signed, does exactly what they're doing in Canada right now. They're telling the world exactly what's coming. They're going to do that here. And what do you want to bet? I'm going to go down the rabbit hole a little bit here. What do you want to bet that China sends home a virus from the Olympics? They use the military winter games to send COVID. What's to say that they're not going to send another one, even more deadly, with the Olympics? Remember, they always tell us what they're going to do. And if you look at the Super Bowl, Jordan Sather put out, doesn't the Super Bowl halftime show look like a COVID isolation camp? They always tell you what they're going to do before they do it. These people are evil. This is a fight between good and evil. And everything that you're seeing is a precursor to what's coming. They're dropping the restrictions. Why? Because they know something way worse is coming. They're going to release something way worse. That's how the game's played. So there was a Chinese doctor that was talking about, and I posted it in the room. I can't remember her name. Lee, I think her name is. And she was saying that they're going to release some kind of a brain fever that is even more virulent and more deadly than COVID. And think about it. You've got over a billion people now that are compromised by the vaccine. What a perfect delivery system. You infect a billion people with this that have no defense mechanism. You kill off a bunch of the population. And then the healthy population that didn't get the vaccine dies off too, because this is that deadly. These are weaponized versions of a virus that was sponsored by Anthony Fauci and the Chinese government. This is an act of war. But this is an act of war against the entire planet. These people are in this for the entire planet. This is not just here in the U.S. This is not just here in Canada. What you're seeing in Canada and a lot of concurrent activities is based on consolidation of power, isolating political dissidents and taking them off the board, and then building an army. Again, you need three things for an insurgency. Control the leadership, which they have, control the media, which they have, and an army. They're building an army with all these military age males that they're bringing into the country. And they're shipping them all over the place. Not to mention the massive amount of child trafficking that's going on. They're moving unaccompanied kids across the border from all over the world into the U.S. Why do you think they're doing that? Because the elite have an insatiable appetite for children. Look at what Prince Andrew did today. He signed an agreement with Guthrie because he knew that she has the doomsday tapes. That is the royal family protecting the brand. They did the exact same thing with Charles. Charles was a friend with probably the most prolific child either. He was a rapist. He was a child murderer. The guy was just sadistic. And Chucky was friends with him. They're protecting the brand. This is what the elite do. There's a lot of things going on all at the same time. So let's go down the rabbit hole a little bit further. And again, the whole hemorrhagic fever, whatever that's called, that's coming out of China, that's all right now, that's all conjecture. But I actually believe it, because it all adds up. It adds up to why they're building the camps. It adds up to the intergovernmental agreements. It adds up to the shielding approach. That was never about COVID. That was about something worse. Now, the last thing I want to talk through, and this is one of the odd stories that didn't come out in the mainstream media. So the Sandy Hook parents sued Remington. Remington settled out of court. What that does is open the floodgates so they can go after manufacturers. Again, they don't want to hold people accountable for mass shootings. They want to hold the gun manufacturers. They can't go after the Second Amendment in Congress because they never get enough traction. They can't go after your gun rights in courts because the courts always uphold the Second Amendment. Why? Because it says will not be infringed. The courts can't go around that. They can't make a constitutional ruling and say that it was never intended in the Constitution. Will not be infringed. That means the courts can never rule against the Second Amendment. Now, the interpretation of what firearms are covered in the Second Amendment, that's a whole different conversation. But in this case, if you go after taxing ammo, high-capacity magazines, the components to build, the serializing the components to build, and then you go after the manufacturers, you essentially shut down the gun industry. They need to shut down the gun industry here. They want to disarm the citizens. The whole game plan in Canada only could occur after he was able to create a false flag, guy was using a pistol, and then he took away assault rifles, quote-unquote assault rifles, which is a BS term for a semi-automatic rifle. But he disarmed the public, and now he's consolidating power. This is right out of the Stalin communist playbook. It's what Saddam Hussein did. It's what Pol Pot did. It's what Mao did, right out of the playbook. And if you think this emergency order is ever going to be lifted, you're high. This guy he's deeply in the pockets of Klaus Schwab and the world bankers. The world bankers are the people putting this on. The deep dark is the money, the deep institutional money in Europe, in Asia, and here in the U.S. and Canada, as well as the U.K. That's the deep pockets that are financing this. The front people like George Soros and Bill Gates, those are guys that are just the front people. It's the deep dark, the deep institutional money, like the royal families. Those are the people that are perpetrating this. They want to bring us back to serfdom. This is the only way they hold on to power. And you have to ask yourself, what is your line in the sand? What is your line? What is the thing that you lose that makes you pick up arms? Because that day is coming. It's not here yet. It is in Canada, but it's not here in the U.S. What is your line in the sand? What is the one thing that they take away that causes you to pick up arms? For me, I'll tell you exactly what it is. When they pass legislation that essentially takes away the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, which is what this Build Back Better bill is, and taxation. Our taxation right now is almost 55%, and people don't even realize it. When they take it to 60 or 70%, you're paying 70% of every dollar you make to the federal government. Guess what? Civil war. We're not that far off. And this is not a toad in a boiling pot of water. This is literally, they're turning up the dial because they're on a schedule. That schedule is to march us towards a currency reset. A currency reset that either makes China the reserve currency or the euro a reserve currency. None of those bode well for the United States. We don't make anything here. The only thing we produce is food. And they have bought up most of the land, as well as the Chinese have bought up a lot of land, as well as the meatpacking plants, a lot of the dairy. Very few Americans own it's very few American-owned meatpacking plants now. The Chinese own a bulk of them. I want you to take that in for a second. A foreign power controls the food supply in our country. For years after World War II, we had what was called the Strategic Reserve and Strategic Resource Management. And Strategic Resource Management was all about identifying which key resources in the country we could not let foreign interests own, control, or even be a part of. We had a Civil Air Reserve fleet that was purposely set aside to move troops in cases of contingencies. We had a strategic medical supply because we learned so much in World War II about combat medicine. We had a strategic fleet set aside in multiple places across the U.S. that was mothballed for the very, very contingency of a world war. We have slowly, over the last 30 years, dismantled all of that. There's no reserve. If this seems like Red Dawn to you, you should really pay attention because that's exactly what this is. The whole Red Dawn scenario is America stood alone. Now, we are winning on a lot of the Patriot side is winning on a lot of fronts right now across the country. There's court cases against the whole mandate. You're seeing legislation about the election. More and more election integrity is coming out every single day. More and more information about COVID's coming every day, but nobody's looking forward. Everybody's looking backwards. This is how the elite play the game. They get you so wrapped up in past events, you're not watching current events or future events. They're 2 to 3 steps ahead. And everybody keeps talking about Trump. My problem with the whole Trump thing, the whole devolution thing, is the same as a lot of other people that have been in my shoes. And that is, Trump was in office for 4 years. And in that 4 year, there was never a plan. What's the plan to restore America? Reagan had a plan. Reagan had people around him that built a plan. And that plan was to, number one, strengthen the military and build a world-class military that nobody wanted to fight. And two, to outspend the Russians and build space capabilities that they could not counter. What do you think the Russians and Chinese did since that moment? They've been building space capabilities and land capabilities, so nobody wants to fight them. Now, the whole Ukraine thing, I'm going to end with that. Do I think he's going in? I really don't. But I could be wrong. The posturing he's doing right now and the denial of service attacks is exactly what they did in Georgia prior to their invasion and incursion into Georgia. They took all the government systems offline with denial of service attacks. They took the military and communication systems off with denial of service attacks. They fooled all the radar systems with cyber attacks. And this could be the same thing. The problem I have with the whole Ukraine narrative is this. The fact that, one, Putin doesn't have the GDP, the money, or the forces to hold that country. It's a big country. Number two, and this is the most important, it lowers his GDP to move in there. I don't see a reason why he would move in there and spend those kind of resources on a country he doesn't want to hold anyway. And then he has to do something about their debt. They're like $6.8 trillion in debt. They're broke. They've been broke because the elite have used that as a money laundering scheme for the past 20 years. And now the bill's coming due. And I think they're deathly afraid that the truth is going to come out about what they've really been doing there. The child trafficking, the corruption, all of the different resource sales to China as well as to other countries. I mean, that's in Putin's back door, right? So he has a vested interest to make sure that that's cleaned up. But and if you're watch Putin at all and you watch the way he operates, Putin does things for Putin. He doesn't do anything for anybody else. He's not doing it for the good of the U.S. He's not doing it for the good of the world. He's doing it for Putin. And what's in his best interest is to get Ukraine voluntarily to break up into smaller pieces so he can take the best pieces with the best resources and align them with Russia. That's how the game's played. That's how the Russians have always done business. You know, after World War I, they built a buffer around Russia and they called it the USSR. And the Soviet Socialist Republic was really just a front for protecting Russia, right? And they moved the worst stuff into all their satellite countries to create, just to buy them time, right? Because when Operation Barbarossa kicked off in 1940 or 41, I can't remember which, when the kickoff date was it was summer, I think it was 40. When they kicked off Barbarossa, the Soviets were completely unprepared. They had purged all of their officers, a lot of their officers from the military. They had their air forces and their ground forces were in complete disarray, not to mention they weren't armed. And the Germans were able to take hundreds and hundreds of square miles in less than a few days. And the problem with the German advance into Russia was they didn't have the supply chains. They didn't have the logistics to support a landmass that size. They didn't even have the armies to do it, but they did it anyway. And there was a number of blunders made throughout that campaign that ultimately led to their defeat. But the one thing that the Germans did that galvanized the way the Russians do business is they signed a mutual defense pact in 39 or 38 with Stalin. And Stalin firmly believed, even as German troops were coming across the border and advancing into his country, he still believed that they were going to honor the agreement. And we can't get lulled into that prospect that if they turn off any of the restrictions, they turn off any of the COVID, that they haven't done an end around like they have with the IGAs. That's why it's so important to hold these politicians accountable for the IGAs and some of these other activities, is they want to lull you to sleep. They want you to think, well, the restrictions are lifted. I can go back to business as usual. Look, we are never going back to business as usual. You have to have a vigilant eye on what is going on and how things are progressing, right? And that's why when you look back in history and you look at how Russia and the entire region has developed over time, you'll realize that everything right now is about resources. And Putin is doing things about resources. It's not for the good of his own people. It's for resources. We're going to see resources restricted. We're going to see things start to dry up. That is on purpose. There are no coincidences. I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in fate. I think everything happens for a reason, and that reason is usually tied to somebody that's greedy. So the last thing I'm going to say is things are going to continue to heat up. The elite are marching towards a timeline. That timeline is a currency reset. That currency reset is obviously scheduled for this fall because everything happens in September, October. It's a significant date, I guess, to the satanic calendar. That's my guess. I think things are going to heat up in June, July. I think a lot of this is going to be resolved in June, July. But again, you have to decide what your line in the sand is. Now, let's talk about Durham really quickly. The Durham case is going to be a catalyst for all of this. I think it's going to be at least 2 months away. I think there's a lot of posturing going on, but Durham will be the catalyst. And hopefully you'll see the Clintons rolled up, but the one that really needs to be rolled up is Obama. If you take him off the board, you take Susan Rice, Eric Holder, and John Brennan off the board, guess what? The entire administration falls apart. And that to me is the game plan. But in between that, we have to deal with this, whatever's coming out of China from the Olympics. We have to deal with whatever's coming out of Canada. And there's going to be a lot of spillover. Keep your eyes on Ottawa. Keep your eyes on what's going on with Durham. Ukraine, white noise. Olympics, white noise. God bless. One team, one fight.